This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.
I think I'm the only white senator in the state of Florida who represents a majority-minority district.
And that is no more as incoming Senate Democratic leader Jeff Clemons resigns following a scandal first reported by Politico.
You know, this was an affair between a lobbyist and a lawmaker that had a really messy fallout at the end of a lawmaking session, and leadership got roped into cleaning that fallout up.
Politico reporter Alexandra Glorioso broke the news of the scandal and is here with the backstory from the train wreck of the 2017 legislative session.
They failed to pass a budget last regular lawmaking session, but they did succeed in restoring one lawmaker's laptop after his girlfriend came into possession of it.
When it comes to modern day propaganda, we talk with one organization exposing misinformation in some of our most trusted institutions.
While the Kochs have been leading this deregulatory free market agenda for decades, we're pointing out that that the core of that strategy is taking place on campuses all across the country.
Ralph Wilson, co-founder of Uncoke My Campus, is here to discuss the vast influence of the Koch brothers on campuses and Florida politics.
So we see some of the leading politicians in the state consistently working behind closed doors with Koch Industries and the Charles Koch Foundation.
All that and more coming up on episode 125 of The Rotunda.
Is one of the most powerful men in Hollywood. Now Oscar-winning producer Harvey Weinstein is facing serious allegations of sexual harassment.
We have breaking news. Florida State Senator Jeff Clemons from Lake Worth has just resigned. This comes less than 24 hours after he admitted having an affair with a lobbyist. Clemons was going
So Hollywood's sex scandal is actually making a big impact throughout Florida politics. Following the multiple reports of women accusing TV mogul Harvey Weinstein of rape or sexual abuse, the fallout trickled over into Florida's open secret around the Capitol, especially during the lawmaking session when legislators are far away from family. A bit of everything is used to give someone a leg up in the process, including sex, drugs, and we'll use power with a little bit of rock and roll.
Okay, so my name is Alexandra Glorioso, and I am a healthcare reporter for Politico Florida.
Well, you didn't really cover healthcare this week. What happened with your jaw-dropping story that made such a giant impact on the legislature?
Yeah, so that's right. I didn't cover healthcare this week. I had gotten a tip about some sexual harassment stories earlier in the week. It was kind of a slow legislative week. A lot of things got canceled by Thursday. There wasn't really that much going on. And so I kind of just blew off my day and went to meet with my source. And then they told me this crazy story about how a Democratic state senator had an affair with a lobbyist, and it hadn't been reported. And they had this kind of juicy tidbit in there where it turned out that the Florida Senate's Republican budget chief, Jack Latvala, and the caucus's Democratic leader, Senator Oscar Brainin, got roped into cleaning up the fallout of this affair. And I thought that, you know, it was just sort of representative of the culture. You know, during budget negotiations, this leadership essentially is all sort of running around trying to take care of logistics from the fallout of one lawmaker's affair. And that seemed pretty striking to me. So I went back to my team. You know, I have a great team, the bureau chief of Politico, Matt Dixon, and Politico's Florida politics writer, Mark Caputo, was in town. And we just decided to chase it and see if it was real.
And oh my, was it so real. Look at the end result. a top lawmaker had to leave his post.
I represent District 27 in the Florida Senate, which is the city of West Palm Beach, Lake Worth, Palm Beach, Riviera Beach, and 10 other municipalities. Extremely diverse district. I think I'm the only white senator in the state of Florida who represents a majority-minority district. So we have everything in terms of ethnic diversity and also economic diversity. Obviously, some of the wealthiest people in the world have homes on Palm Beach, and yet I represent some of the poorest people in the state of Florida as well.
So, Alexandria, what struck you about this? It wasn't just the act of sexual harassment. It was also the cover-up?
Yeah, so, you know, we didn't report it as if this was sexual harassment. That was something that was alleged or raised by House Speaker Richard Corcoran, who is clearly stands to politically gain by saying that, because he is a potential gubernatorial candidate and his opponent, Senator Jack LaValla, is a gubernatorial candidate. So I'm not saying that that's why House Speaker Richard Corcoran said that. I think he could legitimately believe that. I'm just saying that that's not the way that Politico reported that story. We really broke it as, you know, this was an affair between a lobbyist and a lawmaker that had a really messy fallout at the end of a lawmaking session, and leadership got roped into cleaning that fallout up. And I think that that was pretty significant. You know, they failed to pass a budget last regular lawmaking session, but they did succeed in restoring one lawmaker's laptop after his girlfriend came into possession of it.
So for those who don't know, including me, what's the story regarding this laptop? They had an affair and it went sour and a laptop became the focus. How's that playing a part in all this?
So it's kind of comical. You know, the incoming Senate Democratic leader, Jeff Clemons from Palm Beach County, had an affair with a lobbyist named Devin West, and they, I guess, broke up by the end of last lawmaking session, and West had actually tipped Clemons' wife off to the affair and somehow came into possession of his laptop. I don't know if it was the state laptop or if it was his personal laptop, but there was a concern over that because it had all of his personal contact information on it. It was a Mac computer that syncs, you know, your emails and your messages and your Facebook. As it was described to me, it was a pretty awkward situation, and the state senator wanted his computer back. And to do that, he actually reached out to Budget Chief Jack LaValla, who reached out to the Democratic leader, Oscar Brainin, and Senator Oscar Brainin. And Brainin lives in the same condominium apartment complex as West, the Tennyson Apartments, where a lot of lawmakers and lobbyists tend to live during session. And she dropped a bag with the laptop in it at the concierge desk. Brainin picked it up and returned it to Clemons. And this happened sometime between the end of April and the beginning of May, when the, you know, Florida legislature was embroiled in these intense budget negotiations, which at that time didn't really seem to be going anywhere. So that was kind of the context of that, you know, exchange.
This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes, chatting with political reporter Alexandra Glorioso, who broke the story, revealing Senator Jeff Clemons' affair with a lobbyist that ultimately led to his abrupt resignation from office. Here's an excerpt from one of his re-election campaign ads.
We had high expectations when we made Jeff Clemons our state senator, and through his leadership, he's made us proud. Senator Jeff Clemons is a champion for our public schools.
Quite fascinating. So, Alexandra, who wanted this information out there and why?
That's a good question. You know, the timeline of that story obviously was last session. And I heard about it last week. My colleague had heard something about it last week. He didn't hear all of the information, but he had heard, you know, it rumored. I'm not really sure why now. I know that there's going to be a special election now for the senator's seat. He resigned on Friday after the story broke, and that could play into it. Governor Rick Scott hasn't set a date yet for the special election, so we don't know when that will happen, but Democrats had 16 senators in the Senate, and now they're down to 15. So I don't know if that has something to do with it. You know, there was this sort of chatter of payback for a Republican state senator's resignation, Frank Gratilles. He resigned for, I think it was called unbecoming conduct last legislative session after using a racial slur against a black lawmaker. And Republicans have been pretty fired up about that.
Wow.
So there's that added element to it. So there's a lot of politically motivated reasons why people would want to get this information out there.
It's such a juicy story here in Florida politics, but the fallout, as we're seeing, can be far-reaching. So I want to know, who's next to take over Clements' Senate district? Will it be lost to Democrats for good, or do they have a chance of retaining it with someone else? What's the long-term impact looking like?
So Democrats are not likely to lose control of that seat. Hillary Clinton did very well in that district. Palm Beach County is a Democratic stronghold. So it could potentially hurt them in the short term, but they're likely to recover that seat pretty easily. We had reported on Friday that former Representative Abruzzo, Joe Abruzzo, was interested in the seat. He is not. He's no longer interested. But Representative David Silvers, I'm being told, is. And we have a list of other candidates that we haven't fully vetted yet. So we're probably going to start reporting that. But one person who I talked to said that they predicted it was going to be a three-way race.
Well, it will certainly be a busy week, and we will have to see how it all plays out. Thanks for taking time to break down how you broke such a big story that shook up Tallahassee. Too bad for having a slow week. Look at what you found.
Yeah. Maybe they'll think twice about that.
Indeed. Well, thanks again for your time, Alexandra.
I really appreciate it. Take care.
That was Alexandra Glorioso, a health reporter at Politico, stumbling on some big news, groundbreaking news, this week. Coming up, much is said about the Koch brothers and their deep impact in politics thanks to strategic campaign contributions, but one group is working to expose a more elaborate campaign to influence the public by tapping the nation's youth at institutions of higher learning.
You know, as we've been able to document exhaustively in this recent report, and then as the Koch foundations themselves, you know, the officials point out, their intention and their effect is definitely to leverage their academic programs for political change.
More of my conversation with Ralph Wilson with Uncoke My Campus coming up after this. And this is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes, bringing you stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. Each week, this program is supported by listeners like you. Please send your generous contribution to rotundapodcast.com. It helps us to expand our reach. This program is featured on newspaper websites across the country, and we couldn't do it without your support. Follow us on social media, Twitter, Instagram at Rotunda Podcast, and you can find us on Facebook. And check out where you can easily hit the donate button on rotundapodcast.com. We welcome your generous contribution along with your tips and story ideas. Just be an active listener, and thanks for your support.
You are fake news.
That is the real news.
In the ongoing battle against those who call real news fake news and fake news real news, there are sophisticated campaigns that makes everything just a little bit murky all around. Dark money refers to political spending meant to influence the decision of a voter. Money is sent to nonprofit organizations that spend the funds, and the donor isn't disclosed. Many argue dark money undermines the democratic institutions of the United States, and billionaire donors like the Koch brothers are making sure their influence is deep by starting at the root, university campuses, and beyond. For this segment, I'll dig right on down to the root organization fighting to expose undue donor influence in academia. We're on the campus of Florida State University.
Cool. Well, it, you know, essentially confirms that the Koch network is still...
How come you don't link to it?
I'm very tax-driven. and, you know, we're entirely driven by research. You know, we don't oppose the ideology of the Kochs. It's all about, look, here's the documentation that you're violating academic freedom with your academic programs. And so, you know, one of the things they're very clear about in this recording is that it's not just universities, it's not just the research coming out of these universities, but it's the students graduating out of these universities. They're populating their think tanks and their political grassroots organizations, or AstroTurf.
This is the very muffled secret audio tape of an official in the Koch organization detailing their strategy to infiltrate universities.
And it's because of that group of students populating centers that we've been able to reach 2 million or so
Hi, my name is Jack Porter, and I'm a graduate student at FSU, and I'm working with UnCoke.
Hi, I'm Ralph Wilson, former graduate student at Florida State, and co-founder of UnCoke My Campus.
So what is UnCoke My Campus?
In short, UnCoke My Campus is a national campaign to expose undue donor influence on campuses and essentially find a way to prevent that influence from having the effect that the donor would like. A lot of times, very political effect.
So there's something in the name, UnCoke My Campus. So what kind of political influence are you talking about by namesake here?
Well, I think it's clear that they have an agenda to promote the free market and free enterprise. But I think our main concern is less the political agenda and more the violation of academic freedom taking place in the classroom.
Mm-hmm. And specifically, whose influence? Like, who are we concerned about?
Right, so we can go ahead and say the word Koch is in the name. So the Charles Koch Foundation and the Koch brothers themselves are essentially the model for undue donor influence. They've literally made the strategy of leveraging universities for political change. And so while it's not so much their political agenda, that is the trade-off when they violate academic freedom. In order to leverage a university for political change, you need to violate the governance and violate the freedom of those researchers. You're getting what you want out of them. And that means that they're not free, their inquiry is constrained. So while the Kochs have been leading this deregulatory free market agenda for decades, we're pointing out that that the core of that strategy is taking place on campuses all across the country.
Looking back to the Koch brothers and their influence in Florida politics, how deep is it from your perspective?
Well, it's pretty deep. Even just looking at former, you know, high-level politicians, for example, former Speaker Alan Bentz was not only the chair of FSU's Board of Trustees, but he was also the chair of the largest Koch-funded think tank in the state. And so the free market political efforts that are pushed, you know, not just by the politicians, but by the advocacy groups, Americans for Prosperity Florida, for example, the connections are very tight. And I think Koch would get their way a lot more if the legislature was a bit more competent. A lot of times they don't quite get their way because the legislature actually fails to pass many of the laws, sign them into laws. But the connections run deep. Rick Scott has attended Koch's secret donor seminars where they orchestrate and carry out this political strategy. Our current speaker, Corcoran, has also recently attended one of these strategies. So we see some of the leading politicians in the state consistently working behind closed doors with the Koch Industries and the Charles Koch Foundation.
So this is an all-around integrated influencing effort, and you guys are seeing it here on campus, and you guys were the first to start this organization that's gone national.
When FSU was searching for a new president, and John Thrasher was ultimately hired and selected, that was when we really were revisiting these contracts and seeing how this current administration at FSU would revise or handle the donor policy. And so that was really the start.
The big concern was that John Thrasher had many ties politically to Koch's activities in the state, had taken campaign contributions from Koch Industries directly, and actually received a very large one after he was selected as president of the university. So our concern was very much that his political alignments would continue to endanger the university.
This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes chatting with Ralph Wilson, co-founder of Uncoke My Campus, and graduate student Jack Porter, who is working with the organization.
We see a lot of many people trying to influence the process, influence laws. What is wrong with the Koch brothers' influence here in Florida and here on campus at Florida State University?
Well, I mean, it's one thing to, in the public interest, try to influence a law. Private interests who try to influence laws that are in a self-interested way, that becomes a problem. This is, you know, self-interested advocacy. And so what we see at the core of all of the reforms that Koch's network of donors is pushing out is that it benefits them all financially and politically. And so there's something inherently corrupt and self-serving about pushing a self-interested political agenda, especially when you're sort of hiding the mechanisms by which you're doing that. So we see that those mechanisms are hidden on campus, sometimes hidden behind, you know, the lack of transparency on campus. Campus isn't historically as politicized as we see it is now. And so there are not the mechanisms for accountability or transparency that would be required to be able to uncover conflicts of interest between a donor and the research output they're putting out, for example.
Your report goes very deep, and even saying the influence is so deep, it affects hiring practices and major decisions here, of which the university has been refuting, saying that there is no influence. But what do you see?
Yeah, well, you know, what we document in this report is, in more detail, what has been known for the past few years. Since this became public in 2011, it was known that the Koch Foundation, for example, had obtained veto power over hiring in the department. They were able to select the chair of the economics department for $105,000. But more so, once we started digging deeper, we found that the Koch Foundation had approval power over graduate fellowships, and not only that, over their dissertation topics. So even down to the level of scholarly research, we see that the Koch's influence, you know, is basically all pervasive. And at its core, their ability to pull their money out at any time from any part of the programming gives them explicit and implicit control over how their funding is spent.
So what are you guys trying to see done? What's your goal? What would you like to see accomplished with this effort? Is it just to get the university to respond?
I think ultimately we'd like to see FSU cut all ties with the Koch brothers and the Koch Foundation and strengthen their donor policies to prevent anything like this happening again. But we also want to see faculty empowered, students empowered, and we want to see no more corporate influence at our university.
Where would they get the funding if not for these large corporate influence? It sort of feeds the system. It pays for a few essential things on campus that many rely on.
I think many people would be surprised to hear how little the Koch brothers are actually able to, well, how much influence they buy for so little. I don't think that the university system would just shut down without this influence. But it is true that the system has changed to the extent that we are more dependent and we look for sources of money that are maybe, you know, not appropriate for a university to accept.
So what's the solution here?
There's a false sense that this private funding is actually supporting the university's mission. What it's actually supporting is Koch's mission and Koch's activities. It's not contributing. When there's strings attached, the university cannot put this money where it's needed. This is only to fund the things that the donor wants. So the solution, I mean, obviously on the one hand, is to fund public education, as is required in the Constitution of the state. On the other hand, it's to protect the universities from the influence of private donors in the moment where we're continually relying more and more on private donations. That means that the university is more vulnerable. So, like Jack mentioned, the donor policy that determines what influence donors are and are not allowed to have in return for their money is currently very weak. And we've actually been struggling with years with the FSU administration, not only pointing out the flaws, but trying to get them to, you know, address some of the policy gaps that allow donors to do this. Also, we found Koch's agreement blatantly violates multiple provisions of FSU's current donor policy. So not only is it weak, but it's not being enforced at all. And so we were able to bring this to light. Faculty hadn't even heard that a policy like that existed. And now we are asking them to consider this research in light of that and to make recommendations for the strengthening of that policy.
Thanks to Ralph Wilson and Jack Porter with Uncoke My Campus. They are a group thriving on the generosity of others, and mentioned they are seeking donations to support their work at uncokemycampus.org. That's it for this edition of the Rotunda. Special thanks to Politico's Alexandra Glorioso, Ralph Wilson, and Jack Porter with Uncoke My Campus. Also, some of the background music featured here are Creative Commons, and you can find the artists and descriptions in the show notes on rotundapodcast.com. Remember to follow us on social media. Also, check us out at rotundapodcast.com. Can't say that enough. Where you can contribute to this program and suggest topics and story ideas. And be sure to join us next week for more stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.